Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we were shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and our relationship conversation continued where we talked about those red flags that you might see under 6 months, and you better run for it. Oh my goodness. Well, how about when your partner uses attacking language, you know, when they're talking to you. And now, you know me and the abuse thing, you never, ever, ever dismiss when someone is using attacking language. No, that is not cute. It's not funny. And it's definitely a red flag that some abuse might be on the way. That includes that name calling and all of that stuff. Okay? So let's make sure you pay special attention to the attacking language. Well, what about the unwillingness to listen? Ah, the Due Time crew said flag, flag, flag. Yes. We have someone who doesn't want to listen to you. You know, there's no sense of empathy because they don't listen to you. There's no sympathy because they don't listen to you. Yeah. You know, you got to make sure that you pay attention to these things. You cannot ignore this stuff. Okay? Ooh, this was a good one. When they're unavailable on a regular schedule. Yeah. When, you know, you have to let them know things way in advance, when, you know, they're not available on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and then they might not be available on Thursday and Friday, and then you know, it's one thing if they're taking a class or, you know, they just might be hanging out with friends, but when they tell you in advance that they're not going to be available or they pop up missing. Oh, my. You better pay attention. That's Cheaters 101 or Mysterious Lifestyle 101. Yeah, you got to make sure you pay attention to that. What else are we talking about here? Excuse me. Now this one was kind of out there, but, you know, hey, a red flag is a red flag. They say pay attention to how they started their other relationships, you know, or what they were in their other relationships, you know. Were they cheaters? You know, everybody ain't going to tell you they were a cheater now. No. No, they're not going to tell you if they were cheetah. But ask questions. See, this is why that dating process is so crucial, because it gives you an opportunity to watch for these things, to ask questions. And, you know, people, if you're doing the friend thing, people will just kind of talk. See, if you automatically walk into this dating situation, then people are already going to come with stuff pushed under the rug. So they're not going to tell you that they have a hard time committing. But if you watch them as a friend, now that might be something that shows a little different behavior. You know, you see them and they having a hard time committing to this or that, and yeah, that can be a sign that they may have a hard time committing to a relationship. You know, some people say, well, what's that got to do? No, pay attention, because stranger things have happened. Okay? All right. So, you know, get those red flags. Give those red flags attention. Stop pushing past thinking that, you know, hey, I'm okay. He's all right. She's all right. All that don't mean nothing. No, you better start paying attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. All right? So, Mondays would not be complete if we did not finish with our switch tip. And our switch tip for the week, well, let me just say that. The switch tip with Shanti was, stop taking God for granted. And that's a tall, tall issue. Yeah, you can't just brush stuff off and just push God to the side and all his blessings and all the things that he's doing and the things that he is making sure you have. And, you know, no, you can't just take and push God to the side like he doesn't exist. Like he doesn't provide, like he hasn't kept his word. No. No, you can't do that. Because the last thing you want to do is even let God think that you're unappreciative. Now, considering that his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, you may want to do some thinking before you start. Yeah. Does that make sense? I hope so. Before you start thinking that everything you're doing is acceptable, before you start thinking that everything you do is okay, before you start thinking that God ain't thinking about things a certain way, you better start thinking. Because I know in my walk, you know, there are things that, you know, we kind of don't really pay attention to, or we don't give a whole lot of attention to. And when we finally do, I remember quite a few times going, oh my gosh, God, is that what I was doing? Oh my goodness, yeah. You know, and God will know if it's something malicious or not. But taking God for granted is, it is what it is. You know, so you don't want God to be, you know, dishing out all these blessings and hooking you up and helping you out, and you're not paying attention to this blessing and how God is really, really looking out for you. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. Okay? So let's do what we got to do. All right? But that's how we spent our Monday. That's how we spent our Monday. So needless to say, we were shaking the Monday morning blues, because you can't go through all of that conversation and discussion and you not, and you're still wondering how you're going to get through this Monday. Because if you just thought about either one of those topics, then that would occupy your day automatically. Okay? All right. Well, today, is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And we're on a regular conversation day. And we got some stuff that we need to talk about. Man, when I looked at this news, I was like, yo, are you serious? Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the world is. Okay. So let's get that healthy breakfast going. Let's tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And let's make sure that we don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
My name is Jason. I'm 32, and my risk for stroke has increased by 5 times because I have an irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib. I'm a face of AFib and stroke because every day I raise awareness about the dangerous connection between them. Telling my story might help save a life. My experience shows that management of AFib can help prevent stroke.
Jason isn't a typical AFib patient. It is most common in people ages 60 and older, like me. My name is Pat, I'm 62, and I'm a 2-time stroke survivor with AFib, and I'm also a face of AFib and stroke. Unlike Jason, I don't know if I had AFib when I was younger, but I'm telling my story so that what happened to me doesn't happen to you.
AFib often has no symptoms. Take action today by talking with a healthcare professional about your risk. Visit stroke.org
to read more about our stories
and submit your own.
Well, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Oh, yeah. We're already at Tuesday, and we're almost out of the month. Yes, can you believe it? Yep, the month is gone already. And thank God for bringing us safely through another month. We can't take this stuff for granted. Don't take God for granted. Okay. Well, let's get this conversation started. We got a lot to talk about today. Well, yesterday I started telling you about a list where the people who worked in the restaurant said they would never order for themselves. And I just wanted, you know, I haven't gone through the list. I'm reading it and getting it just like you. And we went over some stuff yesterday, and I want to continue talking about it. Well, they say that if you order a steak well done, that they've been told that you get an older cut of meat that has less than fresh qualities, but it gets hidden because it's cooked longer. Wow. And I can't believe these people when they say these things. I can't believe these people. Yeah. Well, to me, I don't like my meat well done anyway, because that's all dried up. And maybe, it, well, you know, when you hear about this, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Because if it's not the top quality of meat, you wouldn't know any difference because you didn't just kill the meat when you cooked it to the end. Yeah. Okay. What else does it say? Wow, they say they don't get sushi at an empty sushi place or on a Sunday or Monday before dinner time. Now, they don't say why, but sushi is raw fish with the rice surrounding it and all that. We're not supposed to be eating raw fish anyway. No, that is not on God's dietary plan. Okay. So, they say that sushi, for spicy tuna sushi rolls, they say it's often old, less than fresh tuna, and they add spices to cover up the bad flavor. They say stick with regular tuna rolls. See, this is disgusting. I can't even imagine eating no raw fish. I don't know, y'all. Well, they say Eggs Benedict. And they say they don't eat Eggs Benedict because you can never tell where the hollandaise sauce has been. Wow. So that makes me think that the sauce can be made of anything. I don't think they think that they, you know, they got it from over in the corner, you know, underneath, you know, booth 12. I think what they're saying is you don't know where it's been. It's like, because, you know, these places make up their own recipe. So I don't know where that holiday sauce has been, because it could be a mixture of anything. That's all right. Wow. Okay, so this one is quite lengthy. They say anything off of a buffet or salad bar. They say it took COVID to make me realize exactly how gross the general population is when there are no consequences of being so gross. I've had multiple people genuinely not understand why it was a problem to take the spoon from a seafood dish and use it to get some mac and cheese. I've seen people lick the utensils. Oh, my gosh. I've seen people reach in with their bare hands to get a biscuit. I've seen kids getting their own food and all the perils that come with that. Okay, I'm done. I have a friend who will not eat from a buffet table. I don't care what is on that buffet table. Okay, I don't even want to talk no more. I didn't want to talk no more. Okay, what are we talking about here? All righty. What's the next thing? My mother used to have this all the time. They say do not ever, and the do not in all caps, do not ever get a lemon in your drink at a restaurant. Servers clean off food, touch the food screen, handle many used pens, and do a lot of other things with their hands. There isn't always time to wash your hands between taking a drink order and grabbing those lemons. It's a big source of cross-contamination. Now, I'm getting from Shantice, yep. But that's one of the reasons why I don't like lemon in my water. Now, anybody that knows Pastor Steph knows that you can bring anything to that table. I want my water at some point. And first of all, I don't like my water with lemon in it. I don't want no lemonade with no sugar. That's just what it is to me. But I looked at this episode of Bar Rescue, and it's a show about this guy who goes around and he cleans up bars. And they talked about how the lemons need to be clean before they're cut and put in your drink. So think about it. If it's not even clean, and you do handle it with clean gloves, the lemon itself ain't clean, and what's floating in your water? Oh, no. Uh-uh. All right, I'm getting another do not. Okay. I'm getting, don't let them refill your drink with the same straw in it. Some bartenders touch the straw to mix the drinks, even non-alcohol drinks. Wow. Well, thank you for that piece of information. Oh, okay. Let's talk about it Tuesday. Nachos. Oh. Okay. Well, thank God they're not saying anything bad about the nachos. They're just saying that you're spending way too much money for cheese melted on chips. They're not feeling it. So, goodness gracious, made my heart sink. Okay. Well, here's another one. Every mac and cheese I've eaten out, from Chick-fil-A to fine dining restaurants, are never good. They're always under-seasoned, always boring. Okay. Quesadillas. They're my super cheap go-to when I'm broke. I don't eat meat. So paying someone else to basically melt some cheese into a tortilla, I'm not going to do it. Okay. Lobster. They say lobster at a place not known for their seafood. Where are they getting the lobster? Wow. Okay. I'm looking at bread. I'm getting a little nervous. I worked at an upscale local Italian restaurant. The complimentary bread. If another table doesn't finish theirs, the untouched bread goes into whatever new bread baskets are being served. That freshly grated Parmesan sitting in a bowl at your table, it was probably sifted through an unruly 6-year-old. It comes from any leftovers of grated cheese in the bag. Oh man. Well, listen, these are the workers. These are the restaurant workers that's giving us this information. Oh, I'm getting another yup. Oh, no. I'm dying here, y'all. I'm dying. I am dying here, y'all, because I want to eat my food. I love the bread. Okay. Now, they're also saying that they never eat grilled cheese out in a restaurant. Because they make better grilled cheese at home. And listen, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Why am I paying for a Frank? Why am I paying for a Frank? And why am I paying for the grilled cheese at a table? Now, if we out at the park and, you know, they always tell you about the dirty Frank man, that's one thing. But I'm not buying no Frank at no, if we're going to sit down and eat. You better eat some chicken fingers or something. No. Well, I hear that the Cheesecake Factory makes really good grilled cheese. So if you want to take the kids and get, you know, grilled cheese sandwich for the price of an entire loaf of bread and a half a pound of American cheese at the deli, then go ahead and do so. So listen, you know, the lobster thing is a hit and miss because we're supposed to be eating those shellfish. No way. They're the scavengers of the sea. Do you know what that means? That means that all the waste from all the sea animals that go to the bottom of the sea, it gets eaten by your mussels, by your clam, by your lobster, by your crab. Yeah, anything that shells, my dear, that's what's eating up all the waste. And if you're eating the waste, if they're eating the waste and then you eat it, that means we're eating the waste. Now, you know, one might say, you know, well, I ain't dead yet, or it ain't killed me, and all of this kind of stuff. But I guess if people are still eating pork when we look at all the nastiness a pig goes through, then I guess eating something from the bottom of the sea ain't gonna kill you. But listen, it is what it is. But remember that lemon that does not necessarily get clean. I'm telling you, I saw it on TV myself. And they're saying that the bartenders are picking up these lemons, or the servers, just grabbing up the lemons to throw in your water. You know, their hands may not be clean. Don't send your straw back with your drink. Keep it sure. Or ask for a fresh one. But don't send it back with your straw. But most times they'll tell you to take your straw out. So thank you, servers. Thank you, servers. Man, oh man, oh man. Ooh. Well, that's the stuff that the restaurant workers say they would not eat from a restaurant. All right. What are we talking about today? You know, there's a lot for us to talk about. Let's talk about Tuesday. Wow. Okay, so a listener submitted story. So who's seen diary of a wimpy kid? Well, the actor, Ryan Grantham, however you pronounce that name, he is responsible, they say. And he has been sentenced to life in prison. Oh, wait a minute. He's been sentenced to life in prison after he pleaded guilty to killing his mother back in March of 2020. Wow. And he'll be eligible for parole after 14 years. After he says 14 years, he'll be eligible for parole. So they said that, before handing down the decision, the judge recounted some of the horrific details of his mother's murder. So they said that he shot and killed his mother while she was playing the piano in her home. Now, can you imagine you playing your little piano, thinking you kind of, you know, chilling and relaxing, and because that's what people do, you know. Well, she was playing the piano in her home. He shot her, and the next day, he loaded his car with three firearms, Molotov cocktails, ammunition, camping supplies, and a map that had directions to the prime minister's home. Well, he planned to kill the prime minister, but as he started driving, he decided to not do it. So he turned his car around, and he plans to commit mass violence at his school, which is a university, because he was 21 at the time. So remember now, he's armed with 3 firearms, Molotov cocktails, ammunition. He's going to kill the prime minister, but he changes his mind. He's going to go to the school and commit mass violence. Well, somebody must have been praying, because instead of committing the act, he drove to the police department and confessed to killing his mother. And guess why he said he killed the mother? He said he didn't, he killed the mother so that she would not be hurt by him killing the, by learning that he was the one who killed the prime minister. That's why he killed her. So look what ended up happening. He didn't even end up killing the prime minister. But by this time, mama's dead. Oh my gosh. Well, they say that during the time of the murder, he was dealing with untreated mental health issues, including major depression. And that's what he told the psychiatrist, that he killed mom so she would not have to be hurt after hearing he killed the prime minister. Now, mom is gone. Prime minister is still here. He's still here. And mom is gone for nothing. Wow, y'all. Imagine killing your mother while she's sitting at her little piano. She's playing the piano. And you know you're going to get commit some things that she wouldn't be happy about. So you're going to get rid of her first. So she ain't got to be the one to hear of your horrific actions. Wow. I tell you. All righty. What else are we talking about here? Okay. You have this family in India where the 17-year-old boy, and I believe this was a listener-submitted story as well. So you have the 17-year-old boy in India who's upset with his younger sister, who's 14 years old, that she visited a neighbor's house. Now, he's thinking, this is the way they term it, he thinks that his 14-year-old sister is having an affair with the neighbor. Now, I don't know if this is just a terminology that they're using, and these are two 14-year-olds or 14 and 15. Because when you say having an affair, that's generally with a person who's married. But again, this is in India, and they talk differently than we do. So he told her, stay away from that house. Stay away from the house. Well, she didn't. She went over to the house, and he was angry because he repeatedly told her to stay out the house. And when he approached her, he started clubbing her. Started clubbing her with a heavy wooden stick until he bludgeoned her to the point of unconsciousness. He left the house, and when he came back, he had to explain to his parents why they found her unconscious. So he took her to the hospital, but unfortunately she was dead at that time. And there's nothing to do now. You can't do nothing about that. And they're saying that out in India, a similar occurrence, you know, where a 17-year-old boy murdered his 15-year-old sister because she was in a relationship with a person that her brother didn't like. And he told her, when she came back from seeing this boy, he told her to meet him in the back of the house, and he hacked her to death with an axe. Now, I don't know how much you all know about these, you know, third world countries or these countries or whatever outside of the United States. You know, they have been given permission, the brothers have been given permission to deal with the sisters physically. So you had where the brothers actually have say over their sisters' lives. And if they don't agree with the sisters' lives or behavior or decisions, or the girl should stay in her place, they can discipline them. Yeah, they're legally allowed to discipline them as though they're the father of this girl. So I guess this is why these 17-year-olds figured that they could actually deal with these girls like that. So he told this, one told the sister, you know, repeatedly, don't go over to that house, because he thought she was having an affair. So he took a wooden stick and beat her to death. And then, and she's 14. And then you have another 17-year-old brother who doesn't like the girl, his sister dating this particular guy. And when she comes home from seeing him, he tells her to meet him in the back of the house, and he kills her with an axe. He hacks her up. Listen. I tell you, these are, what we complain about here is nothing compared to all of these different things that go on in these other countries. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, off the murder level, we have this Burger King employee who posted on TikTok and whose thing has gone viral. Her post has gone viral. She took a picture of herself in her uniform, and particularly of her butt. And all she had on was a Burger King shirt with a collar and black jeans. And she did a little video of that. And she said the reason why was because she had a customer, two customers, a couple, coming to the store, and the female complained to the employee that her uniform was a distraction to her man. Oh my goodness. So what happened was, the story is, she was, the girl was, the guy was talking to the girl, I guess placing an order. And when the girlfriend tried to talk to him, he wasn't paying her no mind, because he was supposedly, according to this woman, she couldn't get his attention. So she speaks to the employee. Your clothes are a distraction. Now, she didn't have on a skirt. She didn't have on anything she wasn't supposed to have on. And, you know, sometimes you can see pants a little tight, and, you know, but from what I see, the pants don't look too tight. And she tells the girl, listen. Your uniform is a distraction to my man. So the girl tells her, listen, you know, it's the wrong person. And she was. So I'm doing my job servicing this customer, and you going to tell me that I'm distracting, my uniform is distracting to your man? It ain't me you need to be talking to. And she was right. Why are you talking to her opposed to talking to him? So needless to say, if he's honestly distracted by this chick's uniform, then she's got to be distracted. Then he's got to be distracted by other things. A tight pair of pants, a short dress or a short skirt or a tight dress or a tight skirt. Because let me tell you something, these women are walking around out here half-dressed. So you must never, you must never get his attention out in the street. Yeah. But what, come on, ladies. Really? You having a conversation with the employee? Nah. But here's the thing. She probably couldn't say nothing to him. Probably too scared to say something to him. So therefore, she had to worry about nothing. So if she said something to the girl, she wouldn't get no flack. But she did. Because she was talking to somebody on this side of the fence. Now, you definitely barking up the wrong tree. You mess with somebody in Burger King, and half of them feel they ain't got nothing to lose either. Nah, that's all right. That's all right. Then if you were too scared to talk to him, don't talk to her and just wait till you get outside and have whatever conversation you going to have that you felt you wanted to have on the inside of it. And that's just dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb. Well, we're talking about another clerk who has an employee who has a problem. Now, y'all got to hear this story. This is our last story. But y'all got to hear that story before it's last. So they had a 74. Okay, so already I'm having a problem with this. A 74-year-old woman that says that she works in a Circle K. And this is like one of those gas stations in Colorado that has like one of the, like a store inside of it. Or what, a store. Not inside the gas station, you know what I mean. Okay, so a rest stop. Where, you know, they used to get gas and go to the store, and it has a nice amount of stuff in it. Not as big as Wawa, but it has a nice amount of stuff in it. So she's working a late night shift, and she was scheduled to work alone. All right, so already, do you see a problem with this story? 74-year-old person, top bottom, working the night shift alone, okay? In a place where people come there to buy gas and people come into the store, you're not behind any kind of shield or anything like that. You're out in the open. And she said that a guy came in holding two hunting knives and asked her for cigarettes. He said he kept insisting, you have to give them to me. You have to give them to me. So she refused to hand over the cigarettes initially. And she said the man walked around the counter and forced her to give him the cigarettes. So he pushed her. So she said she was shaking so bad that she really couldn't compose herself. And she was just hoping he would get out of there. So he did. He did. Thank God it went without incident of her being hurt. So when the boss got there, he pulls the footage, takes her into the office, and says to her, I don't see a knife. And she said, well, he had one. He had two, as a matter of fact. So she said the boss insisted that she apologize. And when she refused to apologize, he fired her. So according to him, when he looked at the videotape, he didn't see what she claimed happened. And because she didn't apologize, he let her go. So she's suing him. So she says, I'm not doing it for the money. I'm doing it because of the way they treat their employees. And this is the part that I said, we got to talk about, y'all. Oh, hell. prior to the robbery, she said that she's been a good employee. The store was sold, changed hands from one management to the next. She said, and this management, when they took over, he started scheduling her on these late night shifts without breaks alone. And she's been requesting schedule, but they would not change the schedule. She said, I have been a good employee at Circle K for 16 years. Help! What's wrong with this story, y'all? So let's go back over this again. You have this 74-year-old woman who's been at Circle K for over a decade and a half. The place, you know, was sold over, new management. They leave this 74-year-old woman in the store with, at nighttime, the store is open. I've been in the Circle K. The store is open, and she's alone. Nobody else is working in the store with her. She tells them that somebody came in with two knives, insisted that she give them cigarettes, forced her to give him the cigarettes. And when they don't see this happening on the camera, they fire her. And she's been there for 16 years. Now, because I don't want to guess, I'm going to pull my little calculator out. I'm thinking I know this number, but I don't want to pull my calculator out. And 74 minus 16 gives us 58 years old. So when you were 58 years old, you went and got a job at Circle 8, and you've been there for 16 years. Can somebody please tell me what's wrong with this picture? Where my girl, Pastor Charlene, at? Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, good morning. How are you, my dear?
I'm hurt, Pastor Charlene. Oh, I'm hurt, Pastor Charlene. I'm hurt. Oh, gosh. Okay.
We're going to make it.
I want to talk about, I'm hurt. I want to talk about these 17-year-old boys who have charge over their younger siblings who are 14 and 15 years old in two separate stories. And because they don't like who the girl is dating or seeing or whatever you want, you know, want to call it, they have beat these girls to death. And this seems to be a normal occurrence in India. What goes through your head? Because I'm having a problem with this one.
Me too. But I have heard of that, you know, the boys are able to discipline. But my thought was, the first is, why are y'all killing them, though? And then you get away with murder, you know, and as the father, or the mother, how are y'all feeling that y'all allowing this to happen, that it's just okay? But is that their culture? That's what you're saying, right? That's what they do?
Well, yes.
So they
it is their culture. Yes, it is their culture that older brothers can discipline sisters, their younger sisters.
Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about disciplining. We're talking about killing.
Absolutely.
I mean, Absolutely. That's a whole nother level.
Absolutely. It starts off as discipline. And because they're kids themselves, because they don't know any control. Now, one of this happened. Now, the incident with the first incident with the boy, with the neighbor, the father pressed charges. So this goes to show you that he didn't approve of the killing. But if you don't first allow them to discipline, then the discipline can't get out of hand, Pastor Charlotte.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because once you say to me that I have this control, so now I can do what I want to do, because that's what you're saying to them, especially, you know, 17-year-old. You know, so
absolutely.
Now he thinks he's the man of the house.
Right.
You know, so now one day he might be mama.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you're right. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. You're absolutely right. And keep in mind that because there's this trend that goes on that mother has very little say in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, right. So now
that's
she's
the problem. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The father
that's
has
crazy.
Given the authority, and now you can't say anything over your child.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is a problem. All right, Pastor Charlotte. This is our wow story of Tuesday. Why is 74-year-old grandma still in Circle K on the night shift by herself for 16 years? And she's been there for 16 years. How do you spend 16 years at Circle K?
Exactly. By myself? So you telling me just to give everybody what they want? Because when he came in there with two nines, you ain't seen him. I would have gave him every cigarette that he take it. I don't care. I would have already been, you ain't got to fire me. I am leaving. Y'all should not have left me here alone. And then I would have went into a senior moment. I don't know what you're talking about. I did what? So, he would have it all. What? Go ahead on and shop. Matter of fact, you can take that out for me and just put it outside. I'll get it when I leave. Put it around the corner. And you go ahead on. Because I quit it. First of all, I wouldn't be there 16 years by myself late at night. Like a setup to me.
Well, we don't know if she's been in the night shift for 16 years, but we know in more recent times, while she's 74, she's been in this position in the night shift alone. And grandma ain't giving up the cigarettes. Pastor Charlotte, I'm with you. I don't care what it is you want. You ain't even got to show me no knife. Just tell me you're taking it. And you go right on ahead.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Pastor Charlotte. You ain't got to ask me twice. Go ahead. You want chips? Go ahead. I got some back in the storehouse. You want those too? I'm dead serious.
Yes, indeed.
I'm dead serious.
You need some juice for
your flavor?
Now.
Okay. You know... They ain't got the barbecue. That's right there. I'll be right back.
That's right. Listen, you can have it all.
That's right. I'm with you. But what kind of life? Oh my goodness, Pastor Joe. That when I read that and I got to the 14 years of the 16 year part, I said, oh no. this is something to talk about tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for joining us today, Pastor Charlotte. We'll be back to continue our conversation. Oh, let's talk to our girl. No, not yet. Well, Pastor KL is on. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. This is why you ladies cannot work for me. This is why I can't work for you. Giving up the whole store. You can't work for me. I mean, first of all, at 58, you decided you needed a job. At 58, you was old
right.
when you decided you wanted a
right.
job. You was already
right.
old. So now,
right.
now you mad at the position of closing at night. You was already old. You knew what the job details. You was old. Now you want to give up my cigarette and the cancer.
Oh, my goodness gracious. 74 years old, and you are still working and operating as a clerk and a security guard.
Right. You old.
I can't.
Maybe it was his mother.
I'm talking about giving away. That's even worse. That's even worse.
Oh,
here I am,
God.
The son, and you taking stuff out of my mouth now. You don't live your life. Let me live mine.
Oh my goodness gracious. Is that your comment for this particular topic, this story, Pastor KL?
That is my comment. You was old when you applied. So why are you fussing now? You was old when you applied.
You know, I'm not even going to agree with that one. Why are you fussing now? Well, listen, first of all, I'm having a problem with you applying for a job, like you said. That's why I said, you know, I ain't going to talk about the time or the age, because I could always figure out it was somewhere almost 60 years old to begin with. But then you have stayed there. You've stayed there.
Right.
I don't care if they gave
right.
you the afternoon shift. But you stayed there. You know, I guess maybe some people say, you know, you're busy. I mean, you know, if you stay busy, you won't die. Because that's what they say. A lot of people say, once you retire, you die. So this was the way she figured. She had retired. And she could stay living. I don't know.
Listen, I have an assistant manager now. This is a true story. Who is 84 years old. And let me tell you, she works better than some of these younger, a lot of the younger folks. She used to be a store manager. She stepped down. Her husband passed away. And she won't go home. She won't go home. She won't retire. She's 84 years old.
So there ain't no time where you gotta like fire people because they're like elderly or something.
Well, we've tried to send her to the house. She requested that she not be able to. She's been with the company. October 19th would be 40 years. 40 years. She was in the company when there was no cash registers, everything was on pencil and paper. You know, I mean, and this is a true story. They did inventory by pencil and paper. They ordered by pencil and paper. She's been around forever. And, you know how they say they grandfathered in? Yeah, she's grandfathered in. They can't do anything to her. She leaves when she's ready to leave.
Wow. You don't feel bad that you got this 84-year-old lady working past jail?
I really don't. You know what? Let me tell you something. And again, true story. When I first came to the company, he was my manager. He was my manager. And she gave me an opportunity And I worked for her. And when they were trying to force her out, you know, they told her, well, you know, won't nobody take you because you're too old. And I took her. It was just a circle of life for me. You know, she helped me get me where I am. And I said, no, I'm never going to let her go home unless she wants to go home. She has a cushion position. She works a Monday through Friday now. She doesn't work any weekends. She's fine. She'll stay with me. I told her our deal is don't die in my store. Then we okay.
You know what?
I can't find you on aisle 9. I just don't want to do that.
Oh my God.
Right.
Wow. Well, I guess, you know, you're giving back. I couldn't even imagine it.
Yeah.
All right, Pastor Kale, I'm going to give you the story of the Burger King worker who's at the cashier. She's taking the order from this gentleman who's there with a woman. And the woman is trying to have a conversation with her man. And when she notices that he's not paying her any attention, she says to the worker, yo, your clothes are distracting. Your clothes are a distraction to my man. So she takes a video and a picture, and she puts it on TikTok. And all she has on is the basic Burger King uniform shirt. She has on a little cap. And she has on the pants. And the pants are not tight at all. The black jeans she has on, not tight at all. So she says to the chick, you talking to the wrong person. If you can't get his attention, what you talking to me for? Was she right? Or was the chick right?
Definitely right. Definitely right. I mean, with what I wear on this side of the counter, has nothing to do with your ordering or your man paying attention to you. You know, just because you could have it your way at Burger King don't mean I'm going to give it to him his way. You know, you have no control over your man. You don't be mad at me. I mean, listen, I in my former life, I've had that issue. You know, I spoke or I sang, and now you mad because your girl is one. Hey, do you know this song? Learn how to sing. Do something else. I'm sorry.
You know what?
And yeah, she's absolutely right. She's absolutely, listen, I've been there, done that. She's absolutely right. Absolutely right.
All righty.
I mean, look at me. It's early in the morning now. It's early in the morning now, and I sound like Jesus. I'm sure there's some folks that want to call in and wonder
what?
Who I am.
Pastor Charlotte, I'm gonna say you've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Charlotte. You're this Monday through Friday, yeah. It's Pastor Charlotte, guys, hang up to me, girls, your auntie, show them. So it's over. Oh my gosh. Pastor Charlotte, when Jesus spoke to you, did he ever sound like this?
No. No.
I had many a talk with God. I ain't yet to hear that voice. Yet.
Now we hate you.
This is an imposter. You are impersonating Jesus. Where's Tamika?
Come on, my child.
When you give somebody 10 minutes on a show every day, Tamika, now they think they're Jesus. You know what? I surely can't. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm wondering if I've been really hearing the voice of God, because I've been told just now that this person that I'm talking to, that I, listen, Tamiko, I can mic this person. I can turn off this mic. But this is Jesus. Woo, baby, we ain't got that kind of control. Oh, my goodness. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm trying to figure out. Maybe that's why, you know, I can't seem to get things together sometimes because I'm not listening to the voice of God. I must be hearing the wrong thing. Something's not right at all.
Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Jesus,
oh my goodness.
Is that true?
Good morning, my child.
Like,
good morning, my child.
Like,
good morning.
I feel like in the Bible, is that you, Jesus, or should I be looking for another?
Oh, I need the signs and wonders right about now because I don't know about all this there. I'm a little nervous. All right, Tamika, you got either the brother getting over the disciplining of the sister, or you got the Burger King chick. Which one you want?
I'm going to take the Burger King chick, and the reason why.
I knew it. I knew it.
Well, wait
I knew
a minute.
It. I knew it. I was going to take that Burger King chick. What's up?
Let me explain why. Now, I could understand. Now, I got an opportunity to take a quick glance at the picture, right? So she's got on her regular, like you said, she got on a regular shirt, regular pair of jeans. It's not like she, you know, got major junk in the trunk, like she's, you know, made
right.
That when she walked, you hear the jump, ba-boom, ba-boom. She's your everyday, she's your everyday, you know, work, you know. I would consider myself, you know, almost even close to her in size. So it's not as though she has that much. Maybe the issue is that the girlfriend has a lot less. And she's intimidated by this girl who's working. She's doing what she's supposed to do. If that's the case, then you go in the restaurant. If you're that, you know, if you have that many issues, then you go in the restaurant, you order, and you leave your so-and-so in the vehicle. Because obviously you are the problem that has issues. She's not, you know, overly shapely. She's not a big girl, you know, and her jeans are not overly tight. They're just your everyday,
right.
everyday jeans. There's nothing overwhelmingly, you know, so obviously you have an issue. And the fact that you even took your, you know, time to verbalize tells me, as if I was the worker, that you're intimidated by what it is that you do.
Right.
Maybe the issue
right.
is that you know what you really look like, and that, yeah, and so does he.
Uh-oh.
So now the fact that he's not paying you attention, now there's a problem. That's not her problem. That's your issue. You need to fix that yourself.
And like I said earlier, this must mean if he's distracted by that outfit, then what does he do in the street, Tamika, with the girls who are halfway dressed? I was walking next to a girl a couple of weeks ago. Ain't no way if she had sneezed, we would have seen all the private parts. If she had just coughed or sneezed. And I really wanted to ask her, do you really think you're dressed right now? I mean, the dress was that short. So if she's having a problem with this Burger King outfit, then what's happening when they in the street? I don't get it. But I agree with both you and Pastor KL. That's her issue. That's not the girl behind the counter's issue. That's your issue. All right, Tamika. So you hear about the 74-year-old woman, and you hear about the 84-year-old woman in Pastor KL's store. This grandma has been in Colorado working in Circle K for 16 years. And I'm sure, you know, this was post-retirement, and she's probably trying to keep herself busy. You know, she doesn't want to retire. But you in the store at 74 years old, and you see that they're giving you this night shift. You don't quit. I don't know. What do you say?
Well, I mean, when you think about it, at that age, who, not picking, but who's going to hire you? Who's going to hire you at 74?
You know, let's just be really honest. The average, you know, workplace is like, no. We're not going to do that. And, you know, my thing is she probably did. You know, she's tired of being at home. You know, you get the benefit of seeing somebody every day. You get to talk to people, you know, and, you know, whatever it is. I remember we used to call this lady Mom Maybe. Because we used to go into the Burger King, and she, you know, most of the time you say, you know, welcome to Burger King, and ironically, it was Burger King. She was like, hey, baby, how you doing? What you want? What you ordering? And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not the way that it's supposed to be at Burger King. But she was there, and she would order, and you want such and such with that? And I'm like, okay. It just seemed strange to have her there.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
She added an extra touch. It was like I got to the point where when I got there and I used to see her, it was just, oh wow, that's, you know, mama's at, you know, you at home, and she would literally come over, she'd wipe the table, and is there something you need? You want something else to drink? You know, she was just a really, really sweet lady, you know, and they do add that extra touch, you know, but her being there, you know, she probably just needed to be able to see people, you know, at home you might not have that access. And at that rate, you know, where are you going to go? Who's going to hire you at that point? You know, what else is there to do? You don't know what's in that area. What, you know, what highlights are for someone in her age group, you know? So maybe just being able to get out and get access was the reason why she chose there. You know, my heart goes out to her because, you know, you're telling me you're going to take away my break and all of that type of stuff. That, you know, they were trying everything they possibly could, you
right,
know, to make her leave. They
right.
did that on purpose.
Right.
That's not something that
right.
they just all of a sudden did, you know, and she was pushing
right.
and pushing. Well, if I got to be here at night, I got to be here at night, you know, and honestly, if I was her, everything that you could put, look, there's a safe in the back. You want some of that? You know, you want a beer to go with your soda? I'd be walking all around the store.
Goodness,
I see them two knives. Everything. Look, I'm sorry. You know, And then for that, the sad part about it is you're going to try and make her apologize. And then when she doesn't apologize, that was your ammunition now. You used all of that
right.
to make her quit.
Right.
You know, so
right.
that's a, you know, you went through all extremes just to make her quit. That wasn't something that was just, oh, they thought about that thing. They took their time. And unfortunately, you know, that was the end result. And for all we know, the store manager might have had a hookup. They had somebody to do
stop,
that, you know, for all
stop.
We know. I'm just saying.
Stop.
Okay.
I stopped because I was just getting ready to say, well, how about going with the conspiracy theory that maybe you sent him in there to intimidate her. And then
mm-hmm.
she didn't get intimidated until you came around the counter to get the cigarette. And you took the cigarette. And you left. And as you were talking, Tamika, that's what came to my mind. I'm like, He probably sent some people
and
up
he didn't
to
take,
that man.
He didn't take anything else. He just wanted cigarettes. Really?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that's exactly why I thought that. I'm like, okay, you ain't walked out with an extra bag of chips. You ain't walked out with no money. You done went behind the counter, and the only thing you took was these cigarettes? Nah. I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, they set her up. Because how are you going to take the woman through all of this? You looking at the video camera and the videotape and you, no, that all of that's too much. That's too much. Y'all wanted to get rid of her and y'all found a way to get rid of her. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. That's not going to work. So, thank you so much for joining us today. Tamika jumping in and being a part of this three-man team. I have a list of things that they say, it ain't church. Okay? Just remember, it ain't church. That ain't church. All right. Watching church online, it ain't church. That ain't church. Pastor Charlotte, would you agree?
Well, no, because well, what are we talking about doing now? Because the churches are closed? You know,
churches.
I mean, it depends.
Churches ain't closed, Pastor Charlotte.
There's a lot of
We're
churches that are still closed.
Well,
okay. So we're just going to say general. Yes. I would say come to the sanctuary. Y'all need to be in the presence of being together. So, no, it ain't. But they are.
So, yes, you know, some churches have not opened back up because their attendance level is too low, you know, because ain't nobody closed for COVID anymore. The COVID just ain't out here like that no more. If you're closed, it ain't got nothing to do with COVID. There's no state that has any level of COVID numbers so high that they're not, you know, that they're closed anymore. So now during the COVID times, yeah, we ain't had nothing to do but watch church online. So we're not going to talk about that one because that was kind of like a given, you know, that was connected to the Lord. But now that churches have resumed, open up, and everything else is open, they're talking about now. Pastor KL. That ain't church, watching church online. Would you agree?
Well, I don't know that I would agree with that. I mean, I think it depends on the service you're watching. I mean, because for years before COVID, you know, we had televangelists who would have services online, and people were tuning into that and getting a word from that. So we don't even blame it on COVID or the churches closed, because while the churches were yet open, blooming, there were televangelists who was online, and everybody knew the Joyce Meyer, the T.D. Jakes, and, you know, so forth and so on. So I think you just didn't get a word online.
But I'll wait to see what Tamika says. Tamika, they say watching church online, that ain't church. What do you say?
I think there are some beautiful televangelists that are out there, and I think they are amazing. However, I think it's important to have the assembly, and it's for a reason. It's for your strengthening, you know. And then, you know, sometimes just being at home, there are so many different things that can distract you. Considering the fact that you're at home, you know, you can wash dishes while you're watching television. You know, you can't do that with the service because you're focused on that and there's no moving. You know, it's just that one thing. And I think that it's important that we should assemble. Yeah, you know, the television is always available. I think that's a beautiful thing. But I think it's important that we do assemble.
Okay. So, like has been said, okay, yes. Televangelists and people like that have been on forever, as long as we can remember, for decades they've been on. However, what do you do with the verse, Pastor KL, that says, forsake not the assembly in the Bible? What do you do with that verse if we opt? And I'm just asking. If we opt to stay home and watch church, and what we're watching on TV is church for us.
I mean, I don't know that you, I do understand your point. I don't know that we do anything with that verse. I mean, if we take it from that standpoint, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that we choose to use or we choose not to use, depending on the benefit of ourselves. You know, I mean, by all means, I like the assembly. I like going to church. You know, I like that live feeling. However, there's people who have different situations who can't get out. You know, there's different, you know, as Tamika would say, dynamics, you know, in their life. So to say that it's not church, yes, it very well can be the only church that they know of, they're able to attend.
Let me help make a distinction here. We're not talking, because that's not the argument that wasn't the presentation. The presentation wasn't, well, you know, if you're wheelchair bound or if you're sick or, you know, if you didn't broke your leg or something like that and you physically cannot get out to church, get out to church. That was that presentation was never made. So the presentation was, I'm staying at home, and this is becoming my church because televangelists have always existed. So just for the record, we're not talking about people who are homebound. We're not talking about the sick and the shut in. Just want to make that distinction.
Okay. Well, okay.
All right.
Okay. Well, then that's a little different because when you first came on, the caption was, that's not church. So when you just take
right.
that
watching,
broad caption,
right.
there's a lot of thing under that umbrella.
Online. Right. Watching church online.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about, but I mean, let's be honest. We're not talking about people who can't get out. That's like a given. If you can't get out, it was almost like when Pastor Charlotte said with the COVID. We can't talk about during the COVID period because during the COVID period, nobody could get out. The churches were closed. There was no option at that time. So it's a given that you're talking, watching church online is not something for people who are home. Bound. We ain't talking about the sick and shut in. You got to take them they soup. You got to take them, you know, the people who do communion and they go around to give communion. We ain't talking about that. That to me should have never been on the table because that's not logical. We're not talking about the people who can't get out. Okay. All right. On to the next. That ain't church. Listening to a podcast, they say that church. Pastor KL.
And again, I disagree. I mean, we're here a podcast, and every day in some type of form, we present church. We present God. We present Jesus, whether we're laughing or whether we're serious. So, yes, this is a form of church, you know, for those who are willing. Him that have an ear, let him hear. You know, so this, for those who are willing to listen closely enough, you can find church in the podcast.
All right. Tamika, that ain't church. Listening to a podcast.
I think there are some amazing things out there in blog world, on television. Again, you can get enlightened. You can get strength. You can get a little extra to push on. But I do believe that, again, that it is paramount that we assemble for a reason. You know, sometimes you might be getting something that may not necessarily be for you, you know, and you wouldn't know it until you get to the assembly of being with someone who's been where you are, who's gone where you have been, who's listening to what you have been listening to. You know, you get that extra when you take the time to assemble together.
Okie dokie. Pastor Charlene, they say that ain't church. Listening to a podcast.
I'm going to say no, it can be an encouragement and it can help you for that particular day, but it's best to come into the church house to where that we are assembled and have that one-on-one and have that, you know, person that's able to guide with you, you know, and being able to be taught because you can't talk back to, you know, you can't ask them no questions. So you might have a question or two, you know, of how's this, you know, like doing testimony or whatever. You're able to sit with that person and say, well, how did you do it? So I have more one-on-one. So my answer is no.
Okie dokie. That charitable thing you do. So you have just prayer time. You know, you're talking to people about God. You're handing out the food. But that ain't church, they say. Tamika, couldn't think of your name. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Can you repeat that once more? I apologize.
It's okay. It's okay. That charitable thing you do, that giving out food, that prayer, that, you know, going around and visiting the sick and the shut in, that ain't church with your group.
You know, a lot of people think, you know, the things that I do going to get me in. You know, if I just be a little sweet as a salad, you know, maybe that'll get me by. You know, if I happen to, you know, feed the poor, you know, that'll get me, you know, to where I am, you know. But there's still definitely indeed something that you are lacking, you know. Even in the word, it says, come, let us worship. There's a reason for the word us. We need to come together and assemble together, you know, not just you in your home, but, you know, and not just you with the poor and doing that. There's so much more that is necessary. And when we come together, we will find that the essence of what it is.
Okie dokie now. Pastor Charlene, that charitable thing you do, you out there setting up the tables, feeding the people. You out there going around visiting people, you know, visiting the sick and the shut in. But that ain't church, they said. Would you agree?
First of all, we are the church. I am showing the Jesus within inside me of what will draw you to come to the building, to be able to know more about him. So I won't say of the things that I have done, that I do, rather, because that's what I do, that is church. But I'm showing you Jesus' love through what I'm doing to draw you to come to the building, to get to know him even more, or to know him, because you might not know him.
All righty, all righty. Pastor KL, that charitable thing you do, or charitable things you do. Day church.
Well, I was going to say the same thing that Pastor Charlene said. You know, we say that in the church, but we are the church. You know, and as we do things, that's part of ministry. You know, when we feed the poor, when we minister to someone who doesn't know Christ, you know, that's a form of church. Because we are the church, and if it's in us, you know, we should exude that, and we should show the dynamic of that, you know, and people should want to come to the building because of the church that we represent.
Okie dokie. Pastor Charlene, they say if you stop going to the local church, but you still have coffee and cake with the church folk, that still ain't church. If you're talking about God at the table, that's what it says. Ah, that ain't church. What do you say?
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm not understanding. You said they used to go to the church. They stopped going
right.
to the church, and now they having coffee?
Right, they're substituting, attending a local church with having weekly gatherings, you know, or periodic gatherings to substitute. So I'm going to get the people from the church to come and have, you know, coffee and cake with me every once in a while. Or I'm going to have coffee and cake with Pastor Charlene this week, and I'm going to have coffee and cake with Pastor Kale this week because they still belong to the church. But I've stopped going to the church. And they're saying, that ain't church. What do you say?
No. We're going, but we're talking about Christ. So we're doing Bible study. That's what we're talking about?
Well, I don't know. They ain't saying nothing about pulling out no Bible. But they saying they're having church. They're having, like, a spiritual conversation. Yeah. But not pulling out the Bible.
Okay. See, because I need clarity. No, that ain't church, but you just trying to find out a little bit of more so of what's going on. That's pretty much to me. So I'm going to say no. How's that church just sitting here? No. No Bible, no nothing. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
I'm not laughing at you. Shanti sent me a GIF, and I'm laughing. Please not send me these things while the show is going on. Pastor KL, coffee with friends. You stop going to the local church, but you're talking about God at the coffee table. Is that ain't church?
Now that ain't church, and that's been going on for forever. That's when you have cliques in the church, a church within a church, and you're just fishing for answers, but you're using God as the forefront. That definitely ain't church. You just want information on what's going on at the church, but you don't want to go to church.
Righty now. Tamika, coffee with the friends. I'm talking about God. Talking about God. Coffee with the friends. That ain't church. Did we lose Tamika? Okay. Maybe.
Did we lose Pastor Steph?
That's what I was going to say.
Colin, are you there? Oh, okay.
I'm here. I don't hear her.
Yeah.
Steph will be right back.
They have a coffee. They have a coffee together.
Steph is back
on. Hi, baby girl.
Hi. Y'all drink coffee?
No.
No, not at all.
But I used to talk about Jesus at the bar. Was I in church? I still am.
That ain't church, Pastor Charlie. That ain't church.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Listen, I could have said I was taking communion.
Communion.
I know.
Yeah, okay. We do this in remembrance of thee.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to step away and go to church. I had to take a step away. Thank you, Shanti. Shanti is out, gonna fill in for Tamika, who had to go. Shanti, coffee with the friends. Is that church?
No, I don't even drink coffee like that. No, that's not. Because that's just an opportunity for gossiping to start or continue, especially if it's someone who used to go to the church. No, that's not church. You're not going to come. I'm not going to go get up early in the morning and push my way to church and take notes only for you now to link up with me on the backside so I can let you know what happened. No, you want to learn the word. You get up and come to service like everybody else. I had someone say that to me. I sent them, and this was when we were still on Zoom. Let me just go to show you how lazy people are. This is when Zoom was still in effect. And they got mad at me because I was mad that they were too lazy to click the link to get on the Zoom. And their question to me was, well, why can't you just come back to me and tell me what happened?
Wow. Wow.
Because I'm smarter than the average bear. That's what. No. If you don't care enough to find this out for yourself, I'm not taking notes for us. I'm taking notes for me. What's wrong with you? And see, now I got I got to screen what I say because I want to cuss, but we arguing about you coming on church. I can't cuss you out. Now, see, now I just got to cut ties altogether. See what I'm talking about? See if we just get you in trouble. No coffee.
Do you see what a lack of coffee will do? My. Got her all stirred up this morning. All right, so, a walk in the woods, a walk on the beach, getting close to nature, staying in touch with nature. That ain't church, they say. What would you say, Pastor Cale?
That ain't church, baby. It's too hot in Alabama. We ain't getting close to nothing.
So what?
For the air conditioning. We not walking in the beach. We not walking in the park. We not doing. Listen, I can't even hear from God at certain temperatures. So no, that's not gonna happen.
Okay, I'm not one of you talking again. Oh, God. How about I get a word from you? But you can't get a word if the temperature reaches 93 degrees. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness gracious. Pastor Charlotte, what are we dealing with here? All right. Shantice, a walk in the woods, on the beach, getting in touch with nature. That is
no. True. No, especially if you don't really like outdoors like that. No, that is not church. That is not how you fellowship with others. You're not supposed to be having fellowship with the mosquitoes and the bugs and whatever else is out in the wilderness. No, that is not church, because you figure, well, I'm sitting here and, you know, I'm roughing it out in nature, and this is what God created, and whatever other thing you say to yourself to try to justify you being outdoors and you sinking that in. No, that is not church.
All right. Pastor Charlene, you stopped going to the local church, but now you are connecting with all of the forest trees and the sticks and the nature and the beach. They say that ain't church. What do you say?
Well, maybe they was just doing, you know, the wilderness. And they wanted to take you to the water. Maybe that's what they thought that they was going to do.
Lord Jesus. That ain't church right there. That ain't church. That's not church.
Oh, my goodness. What I'm saying is it ain't church.
Maybe they just pulled on, as you stated, pulled parts out of the Bible. So maybe they was trying to experience that and thought that's what they were doing. So I was just letting them know that, no, that's not church.
Oh, my goodness.
Get your lazy self up and get in the building.
All right. How about this one? They call it church surfing. And they say they may go to a 9 o'clock service at one church, and then they go to the afternoon at another church, and then they go to a third one during the week at a Bible study. They call it church surfing. That ain't church, they say. What would you say, Shantice?
What kind of mental capacity do you have? I just picture, all right, so I have Sabbath school at one church. Then for divine worship, I go to another church. Then before I know it, I'm sitting up at Bishop Whitehead's church. And what kind of church tour did you put in your mind? That is too much chaos in one. So you about to listen to at least three separate people in one worship day. And what is your goal? Like, what do you feel like you're really going to walk away with outside of a headache? Because just thinking about it is giving me a headache. How does that make sense? And see, those of us who observe the Sabbath, we like to eat. So then my first question is, who cooking all this food at these churches? See, you can't be eating everybody's food. All right. In addition to me wanting to get the word, of course, amen. Who's making this food and stuff now? Now you eating? No, that just sounds chaotic. Like, I would really love for someone to answer, like, what do you believe you're going to be able to walk away with when you hear three different sermons, three different topics, three different sets of atmospheres, and three different sets of spirits? That is just too much. Mm-mm. That is not church. That's chaos.
All righty. We got Tamika on the line. So, Tamika, they say they call it church surfing. They say you go at 9 o'clock at one church, and then later on you move to another church, and then later on for the afternoon service you go to another church. They say that ain't church. What do you say?
I have been a member of a church, and we, you know, you have your co-churches, you know, that you combine and you have a good service. That's one thing. But to go from this place to that place to this place is kind of like, you know, I'm going to go to this restaurant, and right after I finish that, I'm going here. I'm going to fill myself with that and this and that and this and that. And you have to be very careful, because with all the stuff that you're ingesting, sometimes you can get sick. You know, and so it's very, you have to be very cautious and very careful, because, you know, just like the body needs caution, so does the soul. Be very, very careful. You can't just go everywhere. You can't eat in every restaurant, and you certainly can't go to every church.
All righty. Pastor Charlotte, church surfing, the way it was described a minute ago. That ain't church, they say. Would you agree?
That's church hopping. You're searching for something that you're not going to find because you're not steady. So, no, you are not being fed. You're just going from place to place. And what are you running from? That's a big question. And what's so sad about it, there's a lot of people that do that. And they don't want to stay focused in one place because they'll find a reason. Because. It's always a because. Why do this? Because, you know. But no, you have to be grounded and stay in one spot and being able to be fed, because it's like it was said, you're going from place to place and you don't know which way to go and which way to believe, because you haven't took time out of being able to sit and being able to be fed from one leader.
All righty. I'm Pastor KL. Church surfing. That ain't
true. Yeah, that could be a very, very dangerous thing. You know, as we talk about natural, you know, there is also spiritual food poison. That once you keep on going, it's like a child who, you know, right now they have potato chips and they want candy and they want this. After a while, your stomach or your spirit is not going to be able to digest all that stuff. So something is going to come back up. So yeah, that is a dangerous place. However, you know, sometimes in order to find a good home, you have to go to more than one church. Not doing it all in one day, no. I just don't think that's conducive to the spiritual realm.
All righty. And we got one more. Anonymity. So, as we're talking about this, and I just got a comment that kind of segued into this, and a person is the comment was, how would one serve and enhance worship, jumping all over the place, okay, going to get and never giving, amen. Anonymity, that's what happens with anonymity, you know. You can't give anything because nobody knows who you are. And some people love they just want to be in the building. Is that church? That ain't church. Who we up to? Tamika.
Yeah, you sneak on in, you know, nobody knows who you are. you know. And, you know, the sad part about it is if you have any issues, nobody knows. You know, if there's something that somebody can pray over, you know, someone can talk you through, walk you through, you miss all of the benefit of that because you just, you know, slipped in, slipped out, you know. You sit in the back because, you know, when you get ready to leave, you can go, you know. If something that you don't like, you know, you're out, you know. And with that, you never get the extra appeal and the extra touch that comes with being constant and with being there and having someone know your name and know who you are and know what you're going through.
All right. Shantice, being anonymous, that ain't church. What you say?
No, you cannot just sit around hiding under your hoodie or your church hat. You know, you have to mix and mingle again because that's the purpose of fellowship. When God says do not forsake the assembly, it's not so you can sit in a bubble in the corner. You can do that at home. You know, it ain't for you to be all loud either. You know, but it's so that you can now blend in with the rest of the congregation and now allow God to show you, you know, how you can be an addition and an asset where he has placed you. You know, when you try to stay anonymous, like, okay, I'm just here to listen and I'm out. You know, I sneak in, I sneak out. That is not why he's telling us we need to be together. You need to feed off of people and people need to be able to feed off of you. If you're anonymous, that can't happen. So that is not church.
All righty. Pastor KL, being anonymous, that ain't church, they say. What do you say?
Yeah, it's definitely not church. If you just come in to sneak in and hide and wear the mask, you know, then you don't want the healing that you say you want. You don't want the deliverance that you say you want. You know, people can't help you if you're under the pew and they don't see you. So yeah, that could be a problem.
All righty, and Pastor Charlotte, being anonymous. Is that church?
No. What are you hiding from? That would be the question for me. But no, it's not, because once again, you are not interacting with nobody, and nobody's not going to know you. You didn't even stay enough time to meet the pastor, you know, for him or she to say hello to you. So when you keep going from place to place, and nobody knows who you are, it goes back to, what are you running from? What are you running from? Do you really want to know Jesus? And that will be a question. Are you just being unpresent? You know how some people just come to a place, say, I was at church today. They don't know nothing what the word said. They don't know nothing. They can't say which song you sung, nothing. All they say was, I was there. So, no.
All right. Thank you so much, my full due time crew today, for joining us in our church folk conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You all
do the same. You and everyone else as well.
Thank you. All right. Let's take this opportunity to hold hands and hold hearts and just go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for just waking us up today, allowing us to see a brand new day, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for allowing us to come together, dear Heavenly Father, and just to speak on these things, God, to educate one another, to make one another aware of your will and your way, dear Heavenly Father. And we thank you for just choosing us today to minister to your people. And God, as we're talking about what is church and what's not church, God, we ask that you give the a level of clarity that we need, dear God, that everybody would walk away understanding. Listeners would understand what you're expecting of us, dear Heavenly Father. And we're thanking you, God, for any conversation that you give us from day to day, God. And, Lord, we're giving back to you what you're giving to us, dear God. And we pray that when we leave, we would be able to share of your good news, of your goodness, of your love to everyone who is willing to hear. We thank you for us being ministered to, dear Heavenly Father, even though we are ministering to other people. We ask, God, that you just touch the masses with your knowledge and your wisdom, God. Touch those who are near, those who are far. Touch those who will listen today and those who will listen next week, next month, next year, if you should spare our lives, God. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just paying the bills, just giving us that device to be a part of this broadcast, even if it's just for us to listen. Thank you. And we ask you to continue to bless each and every one of us, whether we are the hearers and we're being ministered to, or whether we're ministering, God, that we would continue to position ourselves to be used. And we would find ourselves standing at your altar for that first and foremost, dear Heavenly Father. Not what we can get, but what we can give. We thank you for shining your light on us, and that with your truth, we shall be set free. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Stumbled on that one this morning. I had a few things and I was like, I don't want to talk about that. But I thought this was a nice place to land, and actually it was really good. Very enlightening as to the understanding. You know, clearly, you know, I always say these lists are comprised when they do surveys, when they do surveys. And not all the time do we find that the lists are accurate. And always good to hear what God gives us. You know, when I got the text, and I'll read it again, and it says, how would one serve and enhance worship, jumping all over the place, going to get and never giving? You're not serving in any capacity. You know, that's where the forsake not the assembly comes from. And there are a lot of verses in the Bible that say, you know, talk about our attendance. But I have not found one, not one, that would dismiss being together, because we're there to be a blessing and we're there to get a blessing. And we can't do both if we're sitting behind a podcast or if we're sitting behind a television. And I, who has been given a podcast, and I get up every day, Monday through Friday, to lead the podcast. I have a due time crew. God has given me a crew. So it's not all about what Stephanie can give. I'm blessed and enhanced by the due time crew and what they give. However, it's not church. And church cannot be replaced with a podcast or people who are on Facebook, people who are on TV. You know, that is supposed to be, if anything, for our enhancement. You know, that's supposed to be, you know, this here, Monday through Friday, is not church. And it should not try, there shouldn't be an attempt to replace church with this podcast. And we give some good stuff here. God really filters some, I mean, dynamic stuff through this broadcast. But we cannot look at it as, you know, being a replacement for church. Because what are you giving? What are you giving? So you get to receive and take from the broadcast or from the TD Jake sermon or watching him or Michael Todd or whomever, you know, on your worship day. Then what are you contributing to the kingdom of God? So, you know, it's, again, It's all about the give and take. We're not here just to give. God has this entire kingdom for us to receive. And by the same token, we're not here just to receive. Did I say that back? We're not here just to give or receive. Just put it like that because I can't remember the first one I said. You know, we're not here to do either or. We're here with a responsibility to do both. And those are the scriptures that are also coming across in the Word of God. So stop being lazy. That's also a sign of laziness. Again, we're not talking about someone who is hindered or prevented, you know, from actually going out. I have personally been bedridden. And I remember when I had to go into the rehab center and I had to get 24-hour antibiotic therapy. I had an IV in my arm 24 hours a day, and they were literally giving it to me 24 hours a day. And I asked the nurse, I said, can I go to church? And she was like, yeah, sure you could go to church. And I was like, okay, good. And she said, well, you know, as long as you're back, you know, by a certain time. And I was like, oh, well, it don't work like that here. When I go, I'm out for the day. And she was like, no, you're not going to be able to go to church. When I tell you, I cried like a baby. I cried like a baby. And when she came back in the room, she saw, you know, the tears. And she was like, well, are you okay, Miss Griffin? Is everything all right? And I was like, yeah, physically. And she was like, well, what's the matter? And I said to her, I can't go to church. And she was like, no, I told you could go to church. And I was like, no, you said, because when you have antibiotic therapy, you can't miss doses. You can't miss, you're on a strict regimen, and you can't miss. And I remember having to go to the doctor, and I had to go to the doctor, so I had to miss, I had to double up, and that means I had to stay longer. So in other words, instead of me staying 5 weeks, I had to end up staying 6 weeks, because the period that I missed, they had to make sure I got to push me staying there longer. I couldn't even imagine giving my life to God right now, or even back then, and being okay with being at home, being okay with looking at somebody on TV as a substitute. I couldn't even imagine not being in the house of the Lord and being okay with it. Now, we all have our own, you know, acceptability as to, you know, what we're good with and what we're not good with. But for me, I can't even imagine forsaking the assembly of the Lord for anything. And I was to even get my health together. So, that ain't good for me. That ain't going to work for me. And, being in the house of the Lord, that's church. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above and not things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time. I want to thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not forsake the opportunity to give your life to the Lord right now. And please do not miss this opportunity to have that stronger relationship with the Lord, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Wow Wednesday, God spares. I love you.